Well, let's pray. Good morning, Father God. We come to you this day, Lord. It's Sunday morning, and we want to hear from you. We want to worship you, Lord. We just want to draw close to you. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together. We thank you for the sunshine and everything that you have done for us. And we just want to tell you we love you. Father, as we get ready to read from your word, I just ask that you just send your Holy Spirit, Father, touch each and every one of us, and just let us learn something from you that we can use today and forever going forward. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk about today something I've talked about before in the past, but I feel like I should do it again. A lot of us are going through life feeling down, feeling beat up. You know, we just can't seem to be getting anywhere. We don't, half the time, we don't know where God's at in our life. And what really brought this back into my mind was we have a friend that he just feels that everything in life is bad. And he's a believer in Jesus, but he's just beat up. Every time you talk to him, you know, he's just beat up and down. And he just, man, there's nothing good about this life. I wish Jesus would come back that I can go home. And a lot of people go through life that way. And they need help. Now, if they do what the Bible says, there's plenty of help there for them. Now, getting them to look at it and apply it to their life, that we can't do. But we sure can point it out. And that's what I want to do again this morning. I just want to point out some things in the Bible and just talk about we're not alone in this. We don't get saved and then just get thrown out there to the wolves. If you read Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." The first thing we got to notice when we read that is it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." It doesn't say anything about us being strong in our mighty power. It just says in his mighty power. And then it talks about the armor of God. So there is armor that we can put on to help us in that, through these situations. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But there's a couple, three other scriptures that I wanted to read before I got there. But the big point that I wanted to make is, and I'll just read it again, you know, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We always rely on ourselves. And I'm really bad about that. You know, I pray, you know, hey God, can you help me in this? And if it ain't happened in 5 minutes, I'm already taking it back, trying to do it all by myself. And then I wonder why it doesn't necessarily work. But I want to read 1 Peter 5:8. You know, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." The enemy's out there. The devil's there. A lot of people like to talk about angels, but when you talk about demons, you know, things get kind of weird. You sure as heck can't go by the movies they show nowadays because they put everything way out of perspective. But we do have to realize that Satan's out to get us. If you're a non-Christian, he's out to keep you from giving your life to Jesus. And if you're a Christian, he wants to make your life miserable. He's already lost you. If you're saved, it's a done deal. I mean, you're God's child, and that's the end of that. But he can still make your life pretty darn miserable down here. And like that friend that I was talking about, I mean, that's exactly what he's doing. He's just making his life totally miserable, and he's just getting beat up every day. He has no joy in his life whatsoever. But let's see what it says. 1 Peter 5:9, you know, it says, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." So the first thing, the one thing it talks about here, we ain't in this alone. It ain't just me or him or you or whoever that's getting beat up. The devil attacks everybody. He's an equal opportunity attacker, you might call it. I mean, he's out to get us. He doesn't like us serving God. Let's go on from that. Verse 10 in 1 Peter 5. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." In other words, it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. That's a little thing. My sister told me that one time, you know, because you hear people, you know, in the old translations, it came to pass. Yeah, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Whatever we're going through, it's only here for a little while. Now, it may be here for a month, 2 months. I don't know what time frame. Our time is not God's time. That sounds like a cliche when you hear that sometime, but you realize God was not in time or is not in time, period. He created time for us. God was timeless. He was, is, and always will be. So our timing and his may not always be the same, but we have the promise that it's going to go away. It's not going to be here forever. And we need to hang on to that big time. And then another thing we need to look at is, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now that is a handful there, a mouthful. Not everything that we go through in life is from the devil. We are perfectly capable of making a mess out of our life all on our own. But a lot of the stuff we go through is from the devil, him trying to make you miserable. And like, take little things for instance. I've noticed, you know, something that happens with me. When I'm at home, I'm preparing for a sermon, and I'm supposed to go somewhere next day. Seems like things are more irritable around the house. The enemy is there trying to stir things up and make things miserable to where I can't stay focused on what I'm supposed to be doing for God, because if he can get me off of that focus, he's already winning. So he tries to pitch you against one another to mess you up. I mean, that's little things that he does. But he does a lot bigger stuff, too. I mean, he's constantly after us trying to beat us up. But we don't have to go through life scared when we do what God says. And see, that's the awesome part. And that's where we get to what we read there at the very beginning about the armor of God. And I want to read a little bit about the armor of God. And it is, Ephesians 6, verse 13 is where I'm at. It says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, we stand." So one thing it says right there is, the day of evil will come. It doesn't say it may come. It says, so that when the day of evil comes. We already know we're going to get attacked. That's just the way it works. And then it says, we got to have the armor of God on. That way we can stand our ground. We don't have to cower and run. We can stand there and say, whoa, time out. And that's where so many of us, we don't put on God's armor. And then when something happens, you know, the enemy just runs right over us. Now, he can't make us lose our salvation. Our salvation, once we're saved through Jesus Christ, that's a done deal. The enemy can do anything he wants. He's not going to get us away from God. But, like I said before, he can make us miserable. So we got to have that armor on to where we can go through this life protected and where we're not miserable every day. So I want to read on a little bit about what it says about the armor of God. And there's no way we can address it and go through it here in 15, 20 minutes. It'd be quite a study to do that, but I just want to hit some highlights. So I'm going to read verse 14. It starts, "Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Now, that's a whole bunch of stuff here. I mean, and we could interpret it and talk about it for a really long time, but I want to just hit the highlights in it, just point you that direction. But it'd do you good to sit down and kind of study through this stuff to really get a good grip on it. What Paul's doing in his letter, he's comparing our armor, the armor of God, he's comparing it against the soldier's uniform is what he's done, as to what they wore back in those days. When the soldier dressed for battle, you know, he had a belt that he put on. Paul's calling that the belt of truth. What this belt did, it held his armor in place and stuff is what it did. So, I mean, it had a purpose. It wasn't for looks. Well, the same way, this belt of truth, if we look at it, it helps us also. We need to know the truth. That belt of truth, where do we get it? Well, the only way we're going to know the truth is studying God's Word. We can't lay our Bible on the shelf and let it gather dust. Because if we don't know what it says, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good. And we have to be totally prepared. And when we study it and learn what the truth is, then that belt of truth can protect us. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the soldiers wore a breastplate. Well, righteousness, I looked it up. It says righteousness means a right relationship with both God and one's fellow human beings. So we got to be right with God. We got to try to follow what He wants us to follow. And the reason I said try, because we all fail miserably. And God made provisions of that through Jesus. Now, when we fail, Jesus already paid the price, but we still need to do the best we can to follow what God wants us to do. And then we need to be right with our fellow man. Well, when you go into some of these churches, you know, people are bickering and backbiting and don't get along and stuff. That's not God's plan. He wants us to be right with one another. Not necessarily agree. I'm not saying we got to agree with everything, but we need to be right. We need to give each other room and get along. That's what they consider righteousness. Let's go on from there. It says, next one is talking about with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, shoes protect your feet. Well, the same way the gospel can protect us, if we understand what it has done for us, because it makes us strong. I mean, it gives us strength. It builds our faith. So in that way, it helps us. You got the helmet of salvation. You know, salvation is a free gift. And I read a commentator one time a while back. They were talking about the helmet, and they said it's kind of neat that Paul would say the helmet of salvation. Because back when a soldier would get ready for battle, his armor bearer, or whatever they call it, the guy that carried his armor and stuff for him, would literally hand him the helmet. Well, the same way God gives us our salvation. It ain't something that we go get. God gives this to us. It's a free gift that He gives us. I just thought that was kind of neat the way, I'm sure that was on purpose. Then you have, you know, shield of faith to extinguish the enemy's arrows. The more we learn about the Bible, the more we understand what the promises of God are, the stronger we get. So when the enemy comes and starts shooting arrows at you, and the way I understand it is, like, have you ever prayed? You're sitting there praying, and you're just kind of talking to God, and all of a sudden, the weirdest thought you ever had in your life comes to your mind. Some of them not really good thoughts, and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, it happens to me. I mean, I know where they come from, so I know what to do with them. But that's the arrows that we're talking about. The enemy shoots at us. He can whisper into our... He can't read our mind. He's not God. But he can whisper to us and we hear it. And that's how he gets us. Well, with our shield of faith, we can block that stuff, you know, when he comes up with that stuff. And then the sword of the Spirit, best example on that one is Jesus when he was out in the desert and Satan was trying to attack him. Our best weapon against him is the Word of God. And like, you know, Jesus, what he said was, it is written. You know, and every time the enemy would throw something at him, it is written. Because of this, it's like this. And that is a very powerful weapon, and you take all the wind out of the enemy's sails. So what you have to do, and like I says, we're just barely touching the armor of God. I mean, you could really break this down a lot deeper, but we just don't have the time to do it. But you really ought to sit down and read through it. I mean, it starts in Ephesians 6. You know, just read through Ephesians 6. And maybe if you got a good commentary or something, you know, get a little help for input or talk to somebody like me that can point you in the direction. But without that armor, be like going out there on the motocross track in your shorts and tennis shoes. You go out there and ride like that, you already know what's going to happen. When we go out there, what do? We put on knee braces. We put on boots, pants. I mean, put on all this stuff. Well, it's the same way in our Christian walk. If we want to be successful, we got to put on the armor. And I've even heard people say that when they get up in the morning, they mentally put on the armor and actually, you know, talk themselves through this. Okay, I want to do this. I think it's kind of weird, but some people, that's the way they do it. To me, get in the Word of God, study the Word, understand it. That way, when things happen, your faith gets better. And the last verse in this, and it's one that's really important in my mind. You know, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then listen to this last part. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. In other words, we got to pray for one another to give each other strength. And if you read, and if you're studying the Bible to understand what the armor of God is, you know, one of the things that the Bible talks about is that we should not forsake the gathering of the believers. The reason the Bible tells us that we should all come together, and we can do it here just like we're doing it now. We can do it in somebody's house. It doesn't have to necessarily be in a corporate setting. But we have to get together with believers because then we can discuss our faith. And, you know, sometimes, like if you go down to Mervyn, you know, Paul down there from the CMA, one of the things he asks a lot of times, does anybody have a praise report? Does anybody have something good that happened in their life they want to tell everybody? Well, the reason he does that is because it builds people up. When you hear me talking about what God did for me that was really good, it's like, oh, man, if you did it for Hines, man, I bet he'll do it for me because Hines ain't nobody. I mean, that stuff builds you up. It really helps. So at the same time, also, when you're down in the hole and you're having a hard time crawling out, like that friend I was talking about, hey, we can reach down and grab you. We can remind you of all those things. You don't have to ask necessarily. We should be volunteering it, going, hey, this is what's going on. And then it helps you. And that's why I really felt that I should talk about this again. Even I don't think it's been all that long ago that I talked about it. I don't remember. But without the armor of God, I heard somebody say once, without the armor of God, we're a guaranteed casualty. We are going to get our butt kicked. And I'd sure hate to see that for any of us. I mean, we ought to be able to go to bed at night, and even with all the cares of the world that are pushing down on us, with all the attacks we get under, we should have an inner peace. I'm not saying we should walk around every day with a smile on our face. That'd be kind of hard to do. But when we sit down quietly and we get in our corner or we're laying in bed, there should be an inner peace saying, you know, with all this junk out here, it's still all right. I got Jesus. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you so much that you have made provisions for us to successfully walk on this earth. We just thank you for that. And Lord, as I know all of us want to be with you. We all wish you'd come back and we'd all get to go home and be with you. But something that's been pointed out and that really sticks into my mind, you know, the time when you come back, that's when it's over for everybody that isn't saved. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that I'd still like to see saved. I've got friends, I got family that need to come to know you. So as much as we'd like to see you back, we'd like to see you draw them to you and where they would maybe answer your call to salvation. We just thank you so much that you would call them. It's your wish that nobody would be lost. But because of that, we're down here struggling and fighting and trying to get through this world. And we thank you so much that you gave us the armor that we need to be successful. That we don't have to be a casualty. That we can victoriously walk on this earth. We thank you so much for that, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit as our helper to help us in time of weaknesses. So I ask right now that you touch every heart here, Lord. Give them a desire to learn more about you, to study your word harder. They don't have to know where it is in the Bible, but they ought to know that it is in the Bible. And when that's there, they can feed off of it. And then I ask that you stir every heart to where we pray for one another. Lift each other up. That way when we're struggling, we know there's somebody in our corner cheering us on. We just thank you for that. Lord, as we get ready to go racing today, Lord, it's a nice sunny day. You've provided a beautiful day. We know it's going to be hot, so I ask that you'd watch over people, Lord. We don't want anybody to have heat exhaustion or anything like that. Keep us all safe on and off the track. Keep us safe coming and going and driving home, Lord. And just be with us, Father. As always, I ask that we do this for your glory and not ours. Because it is your day, and we're here to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.